Turn, please, in our Bibles to, again, the book of Judges. The book of Judges, chapter 6. Chapter 6, returning to our study in Gideon. And we'll read this morning from verse number 28. Judges chapter 6. Begin to read, please, from verse 28. Thank Mr. Greer for his words of welcome again. And it's nice to be here. And we do trust that as we now come to the Word of God, that He will bless us and meet the need of every heart in this meeting. And that, as we've been singing about, the Holy Ghost Himself will come and do a great work in our midst even this morning. Judges chapter 6, please, reading together from verse number 28. Let's hear the word of God. And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it, and the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said one to another, "Who have done this thing?" And when they inquired and asked, they said, "Gideon, the son of Joash, have done this thing." Then the men of the city said unto Joash, "Bring out thy son, that he may die, because he have cast down the altar of Baal, and because he have cut down the grove that was by it." And Joash said unto all that stood against him, "Will ye plead for Baal? Will ye see of him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death, whilst it is yet morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one have cast down his altar." Therefore on that day he called him Zerubbabel, saying, "Let Baal plead against him, because he hath thrown down his altar." Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also was gathered after him. And he sent messengers unto Asher, and unto Zebulun, and unto Naphtali, and they came up to meet them. Amen. We'll end our reading there. And we know that God will bless the public reading of his word for his own name's sake. Let's just unite our hearts in prayer at this moment. And again, all who know and love the Lord, let's pray. Pray for the preacher. Pray for ourselves that the Lord will come and speak to us. He'll give help in this meeting. I feel my need of help. We all feel our need of help when we come to the Word. I've sat where you sat. We know what it's like. The mind wanders. The devil bombards it. Let's all pray for help this morning. Let's all pray that God will come and close us in with Himself and silence the accuser. Let's all pray. Almighty God and blessed Father in heaven, in the holy name of thy Son and our Lord Jesus, we approach again to the throne. We thank thee, Father, for the blood of Christ that brings us nigh to God. We thank thee for the efficacy of that blood. We thank thee for its value and its virtue. We thank thee for its cleansing, purifying power. We thank thee that it cleanses from all sin. And by that blood and upon the ground of redemption, we now approach as a band of thy people to thy throne, fully confessing and fully aware of our great need of God right at this juncture in this meeting. Father, this house was opened for the glory of God and the preaching of thy word. This house was opened for the good of souls. And we cry to thee, O God, that thou would be pleased to descend by the eternal Spirit into this meeting. We thank thee that the Holy Ghost has come. We thank thee that he will abide with the church forever. And we pray that his power will be known among us. We pray that his influence will be felt in this meeting. Lord, deal with hearts. Deal with the preacher's heart. Deal with every heart before thee. Meet the need, whatever it is. Bind the powers of darkness. Purge the atmosphere in Jesus' blood. O God, come to us. Come and stand among us. We have read here, when the enemy came in to that land, the Spirit of God came upon Gideon. And we pray for the coming down of the Holy Ghost, not just for this meeting, but to this land and to the Church of Jesus Christ. O God, visit us this morning. Answer prayer. I confess my inadequacy.
to deal with what is now before me in this meeting. Empty me now of sin and everything that will hinder. Wash me completely in Jesus' blood. Fill me now with the Holy Ghost and power. Grant divine unction, that thy word may have free course and thy name glorified. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
We do return again this morning to Judges 6 and to the life of Gideon. We've already looked in this study, just for a quick recap, at Gideon's call. We have looked at his service beginning. We saw how his service was marked by reverence and humility and fear. And we noted that he had to go against idolatry, even in his father's house. In that study, that particular day, we saw the folly of idolatry when Gideon threw down the altars of Baal. Now, I fully intended this morning, and the next time I would come back to this, to deal with the subject of the fleece. In fact, I think I told some people I would be doing that. But when I began to read this week, I really felt that we must deal with verse 33 and 34. You see, verse 33 and 34 come after this moment of obedience and indeed success in this first test of Gideon, that immediately after it comes the enemy. You see, verse number 33 says this, then all the Midianites. Then all the Midianites. So it's in light of what has happened before, then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. Oh dear people, see it. No sooner has one victory been won than another one must be fought for. The Midianites and the Amalekites and the men of the east are gathered together and pitched here in the valley of Jezreel. That's where they come to. And of course we understand it's a massive multitude. But there is always a massive multitude against Christ's church in any land where Christ is a church, where there is a work going on, especially a work of reformation, especially a stirring. There will be a multitude who will congregate and seek to come against that happening. It's the ancient foe, the Midianites, the Amalekites, the men of the east. It's the enemy coming in for the spoil. No sooner has Gideon been given a great victory than the enemy's in. And dear people, you will find that over and over and over again in scriptures, and we'll look at it. One victory leads to another battle, to another time when the enemy comes in. The devil is not going to cease. He's not going to change. He's not going to change his ways. And it is here in Judges 6:33 that I think you can rightly describe the enemy come in like a flood. He comes rushing in. What are we to do? More importantly, what does the Lord do? You see, I want to speak today when the enemy comes in like a flood, the result of which we will see, I hope, if we have time, and if we don't, we'll see it the next day. Because it could just be that there are believers here this morning and right now you're engulfed. And right now you hear and you feel the enemy near. You sense darkness around you. You sense that they array themselves near you, near your home, near your situation. Maybe that's just about where you are this morning. You've had a tough old week, just to put it the way we would talk if we were face to face. You've had a tough old week. And the devil has come in. This morning, by the help of God, we look at when the enemy comes in like a flood. The first thing I want to show you is the enemy's action. Now you see, as I have already hinted at, the enemy's action was really a reaction as to what had taken place. Things have begun to be put right. We've seen that. We've noticed that in previous studies. Idols have been removed, and it brings a reaction. It brings a reaction from the powers of darkness. But dear people, I want you to understand something, that reformation and putting things right will bring that. That is teaching that is consistent with the scriptures. Turn with me to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 7, please. 1 Samuel chapter 7. That's a time when Israel put things right. The Lord had been dealing with them through His servant Samuel. And look at 1 Samuel 7 verse 4. 1 Samuel 7 verse 4. In fact, we'll read verse 3 just so you see the setting. And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if you do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, and put away the strange gods and Ashtoreth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve Him only, and He will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. There is a need at that juncture. And God sends out the message. If you return, if you come home, if you put away that which has come between you and God, that's what He's saying to them. If you return, look at verse 4. Then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtoreth and served the Lord only. It's a glorious scene. And Samuel said, gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. And they gathered together to Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said there, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. They come out clean for God. They said, we have sinned. We have sinned against God. But now there's a putting things right. Reformation's coming. Things are beginning to be put right. But look at the response immediately. In verse number 7. And when the Philistines, the ancient foe. You see, let me say something. Whether it's Philistines, whether it's Amalekites, whether it's Midianites, or any other ites you want to mention in that Bible, though the name devil is not mentioned, he's behind it. There is tolls. And that's the way to read that. You might as well just say there in verse 7, and when the devil seen it, he gathered the Philistines together. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. The point is, and we have to leave that, the point is, it caused a reaction. There was a reaction. As the saints began to come out clean for God and put things right, turn with me to Luke chapter 9. Did it happen in the New Testament? It certainly did. Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Verse 41. It's the ministry of our Lord Jesus. It's the time when He comes down from the Mount of Transfigurations and the disciples haven't been able to deal with a situation and the Lord comes to the situation and it's a young boy, a young life, and the devil was having a go. He was destroying the child. Look at 41. Jesus answering said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son hither. The Lord makes His mind clear in the situation. Bring your son hither. The Lord reveals His mind here. Bring him to me. Look at 42. And as he was yet a coming, the devil threw him down and tear him. Do you see it? The Lord reveals His mind what needs to happen. There's a young man needs to get to Christ. But it's not going to happen without resistance. As he was coming, on the very process of getting to the Savior, the devil stepped in and resisted him. No. Could I be speaking to one in this meeting? And as while you have known the Lord's mind to be clear on what you need to do. Unsaved. The Lord's mind has been revealed to you week by week by week. Come to me. Come to me. Dear backslider, the Lord's mind has been revealed to you week by week. Come to me. But as yet, you've experienced Verse 42, as he was yet a-coming, the devil threw him down and tear him. And you felt the resistance. And you felt all these thoughts in your mind, what about this, what about that? And they're disturbing you, and they're plaguing you, and you're all confused. Dear man, woman, in this place, see what's happening. As you ever seek to step to get to Jesus Christ, this will happen. But recognize what it is. It's the voice of the accuser. You see, dear unsaved, every voice in your mind that stops you coming to Jesus Christ or tells you to put it off is the voice of Satan. Dear backslider, every voice, every thought in your mind that stops you coming home is the voice of the Lord, or the voice of the devil. God's revealed his mind here. Bring him to me. But again, we must leave it because we've just seen the same thought that the devil resists as people seek to get to Christ. I'm going back to Judges chapter 6, verse 33. Then all the Midianites, the Amalekites, and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. The old foe, the old enemy, back in again the same way. You see, why on earth? When you look at this whole portion, why would the devil feel that this attack is going to be any different? He had no problem the last time. Go back to the beginning of the chapter. We see the same crowd. We see the same instruments. We see the same used by the devil. Verse number 3. And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites come up and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they come up against them, and they encamped against them, and destroyed the increase of the earth, till they come unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. You see, dear believer, you understand this. The enemy's ways are not haphazard. They're not haphazard. The devil sees an inroad, he will take it. And the devil gets an inroad in one way once, he'll come in that way again. His ways aren't haphazard. He works it out. And dear people, if he sees an inroad, maybe in your lives, he'll come in that way until that way is closed. Shut the door on him if you can. Did you ever ask yourself, when we look at this in the Bible class, how come he always gets me the same way? His ways aren't haphazard. He knows you. He knows you inside out. He knows the weakness. Oh dear people, see the situation. These hordes that come in at the beginning of the chapter, and here they come again. The Midianites, the Amalekites, the men of the east, an unholy alliance. But look at their timing. Look again at chapter 6, verse 3. Look at their timing. Look at the timing when they come in. And so it was when Israel had sown. They waited till the land was sown. It was all timed to perfection. Oh, they didn't come when there was nothing to steal. They came at the most advantageous moment for themselves. So it was, verse 3 says, when Israel had sown, there was a harvest. They didn't come swamping in months earlier when it would have been absolutely pointless. They timed it. And I tell you, dear people, the devil's attack upon the church and upon the believer will not be haphazard. It'll be timed. It'll be when you are maybe most vulnerable. And here we have Reformation taking place, and the enemy brings this confederacy against the people of God. Ungodly, ungodly confederacy gathered together to come in again. An unholy alliance. Now, certainly, the thought is that they came in again for the harvest. But the Lord just used the whole situation. Or the devil just used the whole situation. There's a harvest, but there's reformation taking place. Swarm in. Swarm in. You see, turn with me to the book of Luke. Unholy alliances coming against the church and against Christ is no new thing. Look at Luke chapter 23, verse 12. There was never a more unholy alliance in the history of the world. There was never a friendship made on worse terms than Luke 23, verse 12. It's the trial of our Lord. It's prior to his crucifixion. Look at verse 12. And the same day Pilate and Herod were made friends together. For before they were at enmity between themselves. Two men that were at enmity against each other have suddenly found a common denominator. They couldn't care less about Christ. And they unite on it. Couldn't care less. And here in verse 33, going back to Judges 6, you have this unholy alliance in against the people of God. But this is really where I want to get here a moment. I want you to notice something about it. I want you to notice the result of it. Because verse 33 says this, then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. You see, when the devil comes in like a flood, it sometimes leads the believer or the church into a valley experience. Look where they pitched. They pitched in the valley of Jezreel. Now, we all know what a valley is. And we are only, as I said at the outset of this study, we are only going through this bit by bit to learn its lesson. Do we all know what a valley is? A valley is a difficult experience. Many times it means a battle. A valley is not a mountaintop. A valley, you go down into it. It's the very meaning of the word. Valleys can be dark. Valleys can be unpleasant. There are things you will meet in a valley that you will not meet on the mountaintop. A valley is a low place. Some valleys are sinking ground. Oh yes, you could sink in a valley. You could sink in a valley. Were in Israel to unsuspecting walk into that valley, right at that moment in Jezreel, they would meet the enemy head on. The enemy coming in like a flood many times will result in the believer in the church in a valley experience. Dear believer, with love to your soul, be careful in your valleys. Be careful in your valleys. Be careful in the valley of discouragement. You will meet the enemy in that valley. Be careful in the valley of despondency, of disappointment, of defeat, of despair, because in that valley you will meet the enemy. And dear people, I tell you this right now, sin will look far more attractive in the valley of disappointment. Oh, you're in the mountaintop. You're in the mountaintop, it loses its shine. The temptation loses its glamour. That young person or older person, you're in the valley of discouragement, of disappointment. It'll not look too dull down there. You see, we're seeing here that the devil's inroad will be timed. The devil's inroad will be timed. It'll not be haphazard. You meet sin in the mountaintop, you'll probably shun it. You meet it in the valley, I'm telling you now, it won't be so easy to shun. Be careful in your valleys. Be careful in those times when, understand that you have an enemy who will time his inroad to perfection. An Israelite unsuspecting walks in there in verse 33 to the valley of Jezreel. He's going to meet the enemy head on. Go with me to Judges chapter 16, please. Judges chapter 16. Here's a man we all love, Samson. It's a time in Samson's life, the previous chapter. I don't know what Israel was thinking about, but they were going to bind him and hand him into the hand of the Philistines. He has actually said in the previous chapter he's going to fight one more battle, then he's going to cease. But in chapter 16, verse 1, it says, "Then went Samson to Gaza and saw there an harlot and went in unto her." Now the thought is not, and I have to say that for many years I read that all wrong, and I've told you that before, I think. The thought is not that he went looking for a harlot. The thought is he went for a victory and was overcome. He went not with any wicked design, but he was overcome. He was overcome at this moment in his life. Thankfully, it wasn't fatal, as verse 3 would prove to us. Because he arises, and he's still got his power, and he's still got his anointing, and he gets out of it, and God grants him an escape. But look at verse 4. "And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah." The Lord has drawn our attention to something in that verse. You see, the valley of Sorek, you remember who Samson was. Samson was a Nazarite, with a Nazarite vow upon him. And the valley of Sorek was famous for its vineyards, its grapes, its wine. That's what it was famous for. But the Bible shows us that Samson's in this valley. Now go with me to Numbers chapter 6. Just so we really understand this. Numbers chapter 6, till we look at the Nazarite vow. Numbers chapter 6, verse number 2. Numbers chapter 6, verse 2. The Lord has said, "Speak unto Moses," and says, "Tell this to the children of Israel." Verse 2, let's read it. "Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when either man or woman shall separate themselves to vow a vow of a Nazarite, to separate themselves unto the Lord, he shall separate himself from wine and strong drink, and shall drink no vinegar or wine or vinegar of strong drink, neither shall he drink any liquor or grapes, nor eat moist grapes or dried. All the days of his separation shall he eat nothing that is made of the vine tree." Now, dear people, since Sorek was famous for its grapes and its vineyards that Samson couldn't touch, he at least put himself in the way of temptation. He put himself here in a situation. It just was not the best place for him to be. It just wasn't the best place for Samson to be at this point in his life. Delilah's here. She lives here. He loves her. So obviously he's going to be here. And we can say for Samson, the valley of Sorek was not going to be an easy place for a Christian. One with a Nazarite vow. Because in that valley he's going to be surrounded by that which will take his consecration if he falls, break his Nazarite vow. At best he has put himself in harm's way. He's surrounded by that which is forbidden to a Nazarite. Well, if that's true, and it is true, it certainly was not the right place for Samson to find a wife. It wasn't the best place for a Nazarite, one set apart by God. It was not the best place for him to be. And dear people, there are places that for some of us, they're just not the best place to be. Like Samson, when you go into them, you're just surrounded by that which will harm you, by that which is just constant temptation. Remember what Zorak was famous for. Everything that Samson couldn't touch, it was famous for it. And here's Samson in the valley of Zorak. Oh, dear people, be careful in your valleys. They're dangerous places. He was putting himself in harm's way. The chances of Samson coming out of here unharmed were getting slimmer by the moment. It wasn't a good place for Samson to be at all. It certainly wasn't a good place for him to find his wife. He's an Israelite. Zorak was Philistine. Can I address young people? And I address you as one that doesn't want you to make the mistakes I made. Watch what's around you. Watch where you go. Watch what company surrounds you. Because here is Samson. And at best, the valley of Zorak was not a good place for Samson to be. He put himself in harm's way. Now, if you find yourself in a valley, now I have to clarify this. If you find yourself in a valley experience and you've walked with God into it, you're as safe as houses because God will take you through it. But when something leads you into that valley, you see, what led Samson into that valley was Delilah. Delilah led Samson into the valley of Zorak. And it just meant danger around the man of God. Danger around him. Oh dear, people see it. Valleys are dangerous places. If you're in a valley of discouragement, a valley of disappointment, I tell you right now, sin will look far more appetizing in that valley than it will if you're in the mountaintop. Samson was a giant for God. Let me just underline that. If ever we had heroes in the Bible, he's one of them. Mighty for God! Let me tell you, there are no Samsons in our land today! He slew his thousands for God. Oh, for such an anointing. Oh, for such power. But at this point in Samson's life, it wasn't the best place to be. Let's go back to Judges 6. Judges 6, 33. The hordes pitch in the valley of Jezreel. Who really are these hordes that are in? Are they going to do Israel any good? Most certainly not. The Midianites, they're introduced to the world, on the world stage as we use the phrase. There in Genesis 37, who were they? That horde of ungodly wretches that bought Joseph and sold him into Egypt. That's who they are. That's one of the boys that come in. The Amalekites. So we could say the Midianites, well, they're the world. We'll call them the world. The Amalekites. Always in Scripture, symbolic of the flesh. There who else come in? So the flesh is in against them. And then we have the men of the east. The Arabians. The ungodly. The pagans. The pagans, that's who they were. We could say there's the devil. When you put it all together, you see the horde that come in again the church. And it's always the same. The world, the flesh, and the devil. Always coming in against the Christian. Always coming in against the believer. And the intention of verse 33, dear people, was not to do Israel good. And dear believer, there are things in this life that are not designed to do us good. But we must move on. The enemy's desire. Let's look at it again. Verse 33. Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. It's to do battle. It's to remove whatever barriers might be there to stop them robbing the land again. You see, the devil, dear people, is the great robber. He robs of time. He robs of gifts. He robs of energy. He robs of youthful years.
He robs of purity. He robs of testimony. He is the great robber. He is the one that comes in to plunder. He is the one that comes in to steal. And he comes in continually against the church. We look at Gideon here. A young man starting out in life. Been through one test and passed it well.
What are you going to do now, Gideon? Thank God for a verse 34. But, oh yes, this horde came in. This vast multitude came in against him. But it says, but the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon and he blew the trumpet. Note, dear people, note, I want you to note this. God has a man in place. A man with a call. A man with service outlined. He's in place. But I want you to see this. What the Lord is showing us. What the Lord is showing us. Yes, he has a call. Yes, he's in place. He's where God wants him. And now he just needs one more thing. He needs the Holy Ghost to come upon him. He needs the Holy Ghost to descend. Now let me say this. Let's deal with this as a church. Denomination. God has called a witness into place. It's ready. It's there. God has it in place. It is a call. It is a work outlined as Gideon had. But what's the Lord showing his church through this little portion, through those two wee verses? When the enemy comes in like a flood, the world, the flesh, and the devil, there is only one way to deal with it. The power of the Holy Ghost. That is what Gideon needed. Dear people, don't fight flesh with the flesh. It won't work. Trust me. I know. It only makes it worse. And the Lord is showing us here in Gideon's life that when this horde seeks to overrun a land, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. It has never changed. It's always been that way, men and women. The church's answer to a land where the enemy is seeking to overrun is never, ever, ever, ever to fight the world, the flesh, and the devil with his own weapons. It won't work. How on earth could you fight a supernatural being with your own might and intentions and your own wisdom? How on earth would that ever work? Do we realize who we're dealing with? What God is showing us here is this. Gideon was a great man. He had a call. He had a service outlined for him. There was a work for him to do. But what he needed to do it wasn't of Gideon. It wasn't found in Gideon. What Gideon needed to live for God in that land came from above. Do you see the way the words say? The Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. It means it came down. In the Hebrew, it literally reads, he clothed Gideon. Came upon him. Came down upon him. And dear believer, there's how you deal with the trial. You say, oh God, fill me. Fill me with the Holy Ghost. And you feel it reacting, or the flesh feels like reacting, and it rises up within you. Subdue it. Don't let it happen. It'll only make it worse. We all know that. A land that's overrun, a believer that's under the attack of the devil. Here's the answer. Here's the answer. Go back to Judges 13. Let's go back to Samson. You see, this book teaches the need for a continual anointing by the Holy Ghost. A continual anointing. Remember what it says in the Bible, as your days, so shall your strength be. The thought is that as your days, so your strength will be. It's the Holy Ghost that strengthens the Christian. Now look, we've made a few examples in the life of Samson. Judges 13, verse 25. 13:25. Here's a young man. Here he is at the beginning of his ministry. Let's just put it like that. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. The Holy Ghost is working in this man. He has an anointing. And God is teaching this man. Look at chapter 14, verse 6, or verse 5. Then went Samson down, see it? When with his father and mother to Timnath, came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. Look at chapter 14, verse 19. It's the time he goes against the men of the city. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And he went down to Eshcolon and slew 30 men of them and took their spoil and gave change of garments. Look at 15, verse 14, chapter 15, verse 14. And when he came unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. God filled him again and again and again and again with this anointing. Now, dear people, clarify it. We are everyone indwelt by the Holy Ghost. Every believer in this meeting is indwelt by the Holy Ghost. And so was Gideon, and so was Samson. Okay? But there is an anointing for service. And it's not just for preachers, it's for every Christian. Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus, I don't know if any preachers were in it, but there were every class of society in the church of Ephesus. And Paul told them, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And dear believer, it is not a case in our lives. Are we going to face battles? It's a case of when we face the battle. When we face the enemy. But God is showing us here through Samson and through Gideon, there's a way to face it. The power is not yours. It's the power of the Holy Ghost. And I ask you, as I say to myself, make it your prayer every day. Oh God, fill me. Oh God, save me from that awful feeling of coming home at night knowing that the flesh controlled me today. Because I'm sure like me, you're sick of that. When we didn't get it right at all. And we come home when we sit in the corner of the living room and we don't care, we never come out of it. Disgusted by ourselves. Oh God, fill me. Oh God, come upon me. Dear people, at the cross of our Lord, Jesus Christ, by his blood, purchased for every one of us the Holy Ghost. Yes, he indwells within our soul, but he purchased for us an anointing. An anointing. An infilling of power to live for God. To serve God. That's what he did. Now maybe I speak to a backslider here. Maybe I do speak to a backslider here. Well, thank God for chapter 16 of Judges. Because although we did start at the beginning of it, and Samson was not in a good place, oh men and women, by the end of the chapter, Samson. Oh, see it? Yes, he was a backslider. But I want you to understand this. He was anointed. Again. He was anointed again. And I think I showed you this before in Judges chapter 16 when he said to the young boy, suffer me. It just means leave me alone. Just him and his God. And some of you need to just say to yourself right now in this meeting, or when you go home after this meeting, some of you just need to say to those around you, leave me alone a while. I have business to do with God. I want God to come upon me again. I want to be used of God again. Some of you need to do it. Again, we don't look down on you. Definitely not. I've had to do it. You better believe it. We need to get along with God. There's one way for the church to go forward, or a believer go forward, in a world that is overrun by all that will harm them and all that surrounds them that will do them harm. And it's to know this power of the Holy Ghost coming upon them, walking with God, living for God. But dear believer, all you need to live the Christian life has been purchased for you by Christ. Avail yourself of it. Claim your inheritance. Claim it for your life on earth. Claim the power. Take it by faith. Don't be waiting on some sort of feeling coming over you. Take it by faith. God has promised it. He'll not withhold it. We've spoken of valleys here this morning. And I want to close in another valley. And I'm going to close. The book of Joel, and don't even turn to it, just listen. The book of Joel, chapter 3, verse 14, it speaks of a valley. It says the valley of decision. Yes. And I think there are those in this meeting this morning, and that's the valley you're in. You're in the valley of decision. Do you come home? Do you come back to God? There's others here, they're in the valley of decision. I need to get to Christ. I need my sins forgiven. I need to be saved. Ah, believer, I've already shown you. You'll meet the enemy in that valley. Oh, you'll meet him in the valley of decision, all right. He's there. Sinner, my dear friend, is it not time to come to Christ? You're in the valley. You're in the valley of decision. Is it not time to come to the Savior? I'm telling you, every thought that's in your mind right now as to why you should put this off, let me try and help you. The devil will suggest to you in this valley, go home and think about it. Put it off a little longer. You know, you can't rush into this sort of thing, big decision. What if I can't keep it? You're kept by the power of God. Let's just forget this. Let's just overrule them there. Dear sinner in this meeting, the Lord says, now is the accepted time. Many reasons for that. One of them is this, you maybe don't have much more time. That's what the Bible teaches. I'm not trying to scare you. Now is the accepted time. Every voice in your mind that tells you to put it off is the voice of the devil that will damn you. That's his aim. Sinner, come to Christ this morning. Can you come this morning? Oh, yes. Jesus said, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. The Lord says, sinner, to your right now, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they'll be as wool. Come to Christ. Dear backslider, dear brother, sister in the Lord, you're still my brother and my sister. Come back to the family and fold of God. And let us march together to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Let us pray. If either Mr. Greer or myself can help you after this meeting, we'll be going through the doors. Just let us know there. Be our joy to help you, whatever your need, whatever your spiritual need. Maybe you just want to chat about things. Whatever it is, let us know. We'll help you, be our joy. But come to Christ. Father, take thy word. Bless it to every heart. Glorify your Son. Continue with us in these final closing moments as we sing a couple of verses of a closing hymn. God, speak on. Do your work, we pray. Protect this congregation, young and old, from the wiles of the devil. Fill us all with the Holy Ghost. We face this hour with God. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.